The Jack Wilson Quartet with a little nifty number called Ramblin'. This is an Ornette Coleman composition, and it features, of course, Jack Wilson on piano, Roy Ayers on vibes, Monk Montgomery on bass, Varner Barlow on drums. The tune is a title track of Jack Wilson's 1966 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrieve Lead. And today's the Day of the Titans and the Supreme Court. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled earlier today on two matters relating to Donald Trump. And he kind of got a break, but then he didn't. He wanted to have the U.S. Supreme Court rule that he does not have to turn over his financial records to the House. And the U.S. Supreme Court said exactly that. He doesn't have to turn over his financial records and tax records to the House as it investigates or chooses or wants to investigate Donald Trump and his dealings, his financial dealings, to see where there might be conflicts of interest and out-and-out breaking of the law. But there's another case in which Trump was hoping to get the U.S. Supreme Court to rule with him, and that is that he doesn't have to turn over any records to the local district attorney as well. And there is where the U.S. Supreme Court surprised him today. The court said he must turn over all the records that the U.S., not the U.S., but the district attorney in Manhattan has asked him to produce. Two different things, two different rulings, but he got a break on the matter of the congressional inquiry and tax and financial records that the members of Congress were seeking, but he didn't escape the fact that he has to submit to the demand by the prosecutor in New York for his financial records, as it probes precisely the same thing. Did Donald Trump, prior to the election and in several years before that, did he engage in, slightly illegal conduct in terms of refusing to turn over his records to local authorities? Well, he certainly can't just ignore the district attorney in New York. So the Supreme Court decided that he has to turn over his records. And that begins another set of court battles, because now they'll be fighting over which records. This is Trump's legal team and the prosecutor in New York. They'll be fighting over which records are being sought and which records should be turned over, and how long and what time frame do they have to accomplish this. And there will be objections, and there'll be all kinds of fights over this. But this is a sticking point, and the prosecutor in New York is not moving away from the original demand for his tax records and his financial records. So that's on one end. On the other end, we have the other titan in this presidential race, Joe Biden, going to his hometown, his childhood hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania, in order to basically make known or to firm up or to rededicate himself to the campaign. And this is where we are in this discussion today. Biden had come in for a lot of criticism just yesterday, you may recall. We let him have it, didn't we? How could you be running such a lackluster campaign and with very little information about what your vision is, what you're hoping to accomplish? What do you want the people to support you for? We let him have it straight between his eyes yesterday. And today, he makes this great announcement about the campaign. It actually sounded like he officially opened his campaign today, but we'll see. I think the criticisms were absolutely on point. He might have been listening, you never know. But we let him have it, because this business, you're either running or you're not running. You're kind of dragging your feet, and I don't know what it is you're looking for as an incentive to get excited about your own campaign. But today, he began to react the way a presidential candidate should react, which is to put out there what the vision is, what it is he wants to accomplish, and why he deserves the votes of the people, and why he deserves to be president of the United States. Okay, just the same. I just want you to know, and I made note of it, that our conversation yesterday, as you look at it, you see how much on point we are. We are very much on point. Just yesterday, we smacked him around a bit saying, hey, get it together. You're either running or you're not. Today, he formalizes his entry into the race with supposedly a pronouncement that he would be producing his plan. Build back better. So the plan is, the big vision, according to him, is to unleash a new kind of vision, a new kind of energy for America to rebuild, but with a different mindset and with a different set of goals and objectives. Okay. So now comes the homework part of the program. Of course, you have homework, but we'll do it right here. We'll cheat and give you a little help. He's rolling out his, what he calls, a revolutionary agenda. And I thought that we should discuss among ourselves if that, in fact, is what he aims to do. What do you expect this revolutionary agenda to include? What would be the key points to accomplish in this revolutionary agenda? What will he be attacking in order to solve and to build back better? Okay, that's the thrust of our discussion. What would you expect such a bold and revolutionary agenda to have as its major thrust, its major components, if, in fact, Joe Biden is serious, if he is sincere, if he truly means to confront the legacy or alleged legacy of the Trump administration? What would he have in this agenda? We don't know yet. We haven't seen the printed agenda yet, so we don't quite know. So this is a matter of conjecturing. Based on what we have experienced as a nation in the past couple of years since Trump took office and especially in the past 2 years, I would say, of this dreadful administration, what would a sincere candidate going up against Trump, what would be the focus of an agenda from such a candidate, and why? Let's talk about that at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, understand, we know that nobody here is a professional politician, but we've been observing this and talking about these things for a long time now. We should have an idea. If, in fact, Biden is debuting his revolutionary agenda, this Build Back Better idea, what will he be building? And what will he be building back better? If he intends to win, if he intends to get our attention and support. 888-874-4888. Okay. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eucles. I hope all is well. First of all, in regards to the Supreme Court ruling on Donald Trump, I think that that's going to come down the line later on in regards to if he's not reelected into office. New York State will at that time go about the business at hand of totally trying to destroy him in regards to all of the things that he has done regarding tax evasion and other things. So that's a down-the-line scenario that will be...
Well, it doesn't look like it's so far down the line. It looks like the Supreme Court, in making this decision today, deferred or devolved some of what it was expected to rule on back to the lower courts in New York.
Right.
So
Cy Vance is going to go forward in regards to trying to get that information released. So it's basically boils down to a time frame game. How long will it take to be able to produce that information to the state of New York? They've basically said that the lower courts is going to have to make certain judgments in regards to that, but that they will eventually get the information. Now, will it happen before the election? No. But I think...
Either way, Trump is up on against the ropes on this. He could choose to try to get it all delayed, or he could choose to, you know, man up and deliver what the Supreme Court says he ought to do. I mean, if he wants to look like
that.
A real jerk. Well, if he doesn't do it, he does it at his own risk. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that because I think, I'm assuming, that there's too much dirt within his taxes. There's too much information that would be...
They've had years to go over his taxes and his whatnot that's contained in his files to clean out whatever it is they need to clean out or to amend. They've had enough preparation time.
Yeah,
if they want to fool around now after this U.S. Supreme Court ruling, let them do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's certain things in regards to manipulation of taxes or properties and things of that nature that's going to come out to play. Also in regards to the lawsuit that his niece wrote about in his books and other evasion of taxes by claiming properties were more or less, you know what I mean? So that is just something that I believe will be addressed months from now. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow.
No, it's not going to happen directly.
Can I finish? Can I just finish?
Yeah.
It's not going to affect this election at this time in regards to his taxes, which he was trying to prevent. So, in essence, he won. So, now what Joe Biden may do at this time...
I would disagree with that. He did not win. He did not win.
He won in the sense that his taxes at this time, like I said, does not have to be revealed so that the public could see the treachery and the evil and the corruption that he's involved with. So, yes, he did win, because the objective was for the American public not to see his taxes before the next election. That's all I'm saying. Now, what I was going to say about Joe Biden was this. Joe Biden may now use this as a form of showing how Donald Trump may be a fraud, and he may be this, and he may be that, and that he needs to show his taxes to the electorate, because he said back in 2015 that if he won, he would show his taxes, that he's not being audited, that depending on the messaging it is, he could show that he's lying about it, that he was lying about being audited, and things of that nature, how he could say it doesn't take 4 years to do an audit. You know what I mean? Now, also, you were just talking about his agenda and what he's going to put forward. I like to see it. I don't know what it is. I'm going to be interested in see what he says. Now, the only thing that I could think of is maybe he could use the term common civility, more kinder and gentler, you know, those kind of dog whistle words, that we're going to make the country more palatable. We're going to change certain things. We're going to have racial harmony and all that other nonsense. But other than that, I don't know what to expect from this man, because it all boils down to the one thing that's not happening. The Democratic Party is not putting forward a good enough narrative to why he should
be
president.
We don't know yet. Today, as I said at the top of the program, today Biden pretty much affirmed or reaffirmed his candidacy, and promising that it will rebuild America, rebuild it, and rebuild it better, build back better. So we'll see. But let's move on, because there are other people. Yeah, but wait a minute. I'm not saying this. But please understand, this is not my. This is not my agenda. This is his agenda. Well, why are you going off on a tangent like that? Yeah, but still, hold on there and calm down. It is not my agenda. It is his agenda.
It's no agenda, because he's not telling you what he's going to rebuild. He's just using the word rebuild. If I'm telling you I'm going to rebuild something, I'm going to identify what it is, right?
Yes, but Jay, we do have other people who would like to contribute. So let's
have a good day, my sister.
Thank you. You too. 888-874-4888. How am I supposed to know and be responsible for somebody's agenda? I don't know. I'm waiting to see it as well. That's what we talked about yesterday. We talked about it yesterday, and lo and behold, as if he was listening to us or had people listening to us talking yesterday about, we don't know what the agenda is. What is the agenda? So today it's build back better. Okay, what does that mean? You find out. 888-874-4888. Daryl from the Bronx.
Eutrice Lead. Yay!
Yay to you too. How are you?
I looked for you yesterday, and here you come today. So you can play that tomorrow. Or is that too much? Okay. So I believe the question for today is, what would I like to see Joe Biden propose as an agenda or a platform that he would like to accomplish while he's the full head of the United States of America, of North America?
Well, let me rephrase it. Let me shape it a little differently so it's more exact. And that is, if in fact Biden is saying that he has this revolutionary agenda and it's about rebuilding America, okay, great. What, therefore, do you expect? Not what you would like, but what
fair.
Do you expect such an agenda would include?
Okay, so if you phrase it that way, I don't expect anything from Joe Biden because he hasn't never shown anything other than treachery. I thought you wanted to get the man elected.
Oh, no, I have no vested interest in whether he gets elected or not.
I'm very much interested in
making sure that Trump does not get elected. I'm interested in that. But,
all right. We'll go around the back door then. Then if we're not interested in getting Mr. Biden elected, I'm sorry, former Vice President Biden elected, do we have time to do a revolutionary retraining of minds so that we can get a third-party candidate?
Well, that was up. We had this discussion very early on that it is tantamount to an atrocity that an election being held at this time, given all that this country has been to and all the reasons that there should be a vibrant third-party choice that there isn't so far. They're not prepared, and they're not able to take on that role, and that's very, very troubling.
I thoroughly agree. Can I just throw
get
something
to the
in
point.
Real quick? Can I throw something in real quick?
I like staying exactly on point, so I don't like straying.
And this actually is on point, however you have to hear it. You know what it's saying? Okay, so in order to answer your question, right, I just want you to keep in the front of your mind that yesterday between the hours of 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., Jeff Bezos made $1 billion an hour. Now, what I want to do for Mr. Biden is guaranteed education, guaranteed food, guaranteed medical care. Those three, income, medical care, and education, right? That's the proposal. And the way that you get it is by taxing the billionaires.
Well, at this point, we don't care how he makes it happen. At this point, we want to know whether he and the would-be voters are on the same page. You're saying that in such an ambitious plan that he has announced today, the details of which we do not yet know, what would be the components of that would matter to you? And you have selected three: education, food security, medical care,
and income security. I failed to say that. I apologize.
Okay. How would this work? In what way would it be part of this plan, this ambitious plan?
Okay. So the first thing you do is, especially for the small business owners, you make sure that the checks go out through the IRS, similar to the $1,200 check. So everybody gets a check to cover whatever their stated needs were. And it would require a little bit of verification. However, the fudge factor is insignificant as compared to if you get the income security right and you get the health care right. In other words, if we move people off of thinking about vaccines and thinking about excellent immunity, then then you resolve the question around being able to do business because there's little importance in having a brick and mortar business open if you're unable to maximize the flow of people through it so that you can get the maximum cash. In order to have that, people have to have capital, and rather than continually having that money spinning at a very high level, you want to spin it down in the bottom for people who are going to actually spend it.
Well, you're giving us theory. I just wanted us the theory of how it would work.
You take the, first of all, to get the states and the city off, I was listening to Ellen Brown, there is a part of the Federal Reserve that can issue them loans at 0% if they have a want to. That takes care of the deficit. Then you take the IRS, and just like they send you out the check for you overpaying the income tax, you get everybody on a set income that will spur the economy, especially those who don't have money. Then you make sure that everyone gets access to the appropriate medical care, especially psychological care. Then you, and this is all within the trillions of dollars that's already being dumped. And then you
Everything you've said so far is building the deficit, the national deficit. What do you do with that?
The deficit will be wiped out in 10 years if you get everybody sane.
You gave us some ideas, but we have to move on. So a lot of people want to talk. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. And contributing. 888-874-4888. If Joe Biden's revolutionary agenda is in fact such, what do you expect that agenda would contain? Simple as that. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you? How are your thumbs?
I always say, how are my thumbs and me doing?
Hanging on. Okay. Revolutionary agenda, what would it contain from your perspective?
Well, for my needs as a voter, he's going to be talking about the economy, definitely restructuring the economy. In the event of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've got some real issues as far as with small business and quote-unquote middle-class or working-class economy issues that have to be addressed. Education, that's going to be a major thing. The face of education has changed. We're going to have to address that as far as how we're going to proceed forward from K to 12 and universities. How can we restructure that to make it more practical for people and more beneficial for the economy and for the general populace at mass? Healthcare, a restructuring of healthcare. This virus has pointed out the many, many flaws in healthcare, especially for Americans of African, ADOS, Americans of African slave descent, and for people of color in general. How we need better, more viable, more affordable, more accessible healthcare. And if we had that, then the ills of this pandemic wouldn't have been so bad. So those are three major platforms that he has to address for me, and one personal platform that I really would like for him to address, but I think is more of a fantasy than an actual fact, is the question of reparations. I really think that's got to be brought to the table. We've got to get some clear guidelines on how we're going to proceed with that as far as repaying the debt that this country owes to American descendants of slaves. But that's what I'd like to see. But
all right.
What I like and what is what is.
Okay, we will see what he comes up with as his revolutionary plan. But it is always good to get a sense from the people themselves as to what they consider a truly revolutionary agenda. 888-874-4888, you're on the air. Oh, they're not on the air. Okay, the issue is, you know, you get the, we're all getting the propaganda. It is propaganda time. Excuse me. Everybody has a solution. The candidates know exactly what to do and how to do it in order to solve problems across the board. Okay. Let's say we give you a shot. Theoretically, we're not going to do this realistically, but theoretically, let's say we go with your vision. What does the vision look like? And does it in any way coincide or address the issues as I see them? Now, if there is a wide divide, then there's a problem. It means that we're not in sync. So far, we've gotten a kind of unanimity of agreement on key issues: medical care, income security. We're talking about food security, education, encouraging the growth of small business, and Ed just added the issue of reparations. So far, I don't know what Joe Biden has in his great revolutionary agenda that addresses these questions directly. We'll see. We haven't seen it yet. But we're talking, these are the things that you would expect a leader, somebody running for president of the United States, particularly after experiencing Trump and his administration, what it is you see as being necessary to address. Who's up next? I didn't hear that. Oh, Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Wonderful, you, Trees.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Well, I remember when Obama, one of his promises was that he was going to rebuild the infrastructure. Excuse me. And just when he started, when he got elected, then the banks stepped up and said that they needed $700 billion. Otherwise, they would go belly up because of toxic loans that they... So we have to watch out that the banks don't subvert Biden's effort to rebuild the infrastructure, most of which they own. And I would like to see our country move away from fossil fuels, of course, like coal, oil, methane, and nuclear, as soon as possible, and towards renewable energy, towards building a renewable energy infrastructure and training people for jobs, especially in the solar area. And these people who are economically disadvantaged, live in economically disadvantaged communities, it would give them a new hope and be reeducated in a very good way, especially at this time. I'd like to see Biden stop building of dangerous pipelines across America that cause so much havoc, and especially across indigenous people's land. And I'd like to see him secure the post office and make sure that the people who work there aren't put under the hammer, especially create a more equitable social and economic situation for them, so they wouldn't feel threatened all the time like they are being by President Trump. Promote the development of use of electric vehicles, especially with the government purchasing, mandating the purchase of electric vehicles for government agencies, fortifying America's coastal cities against ocean rise. The temperature just gets hotter and hotter. The polar caps are melting. We're in serious situation here. And stop building the wall across the southern border, and also promote space exploration, which will bring many gifts to the Earth. Often we have to go beyond the Earth to see the Earth for what it is, a fragile little ball in space, and then we'll adopt a new consciousness about protecting our mother. So those are some of the things that I think Biden should really push for. Of course, we know that the Trump administration has been a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry, so he's not doing us any good. They're all just taking the money and run, but we have to have an expanded consciousness and protect Mother Earth so that she will she'll let us live here. And that's what I think would be.
What you're looking for in Biden's revolutionary agenda. Whatever it turns out to be, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
All right. Some great projects that you mentioned here. Thanks a lot, Harvey, for your call today.
Thank you, Idris.
Bye. 888-874-4888. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Idris.
Hello.
The way I look at this, I look at this as I believe Biden does not have any so-called revolutionary agenda. And I say that...
Now how could you be so mean to this man?
I say that very clearly because when he uses words like a revolutionary agenda, that is not in harmony with the people who would like him to be president. Those who rule don't want any so-called revolutionary agenda. So if he uses that terminology, he is doing what has to be done for giving the rhetoric to the people, fooling the people with rhetorical flourishes about something that he does not want, and his backers, those who rule, those who give him the so-called bribes or campaign contributions, and his history, which I mentioned before. The point is, that's nonsense about any kind of revolutionary agenda, because those who rule certainly don't want any revolution that is going to affect their bottom line. So as something than just rhetorical nonsense that you give the little people. And when you are over giving that and you win, then you go back to the agenda of the ruling class, and all we have to do is look at what they want and look at the history of Biden as a servant of the ruling class, and he's in and the people are out. So
okay,
this idea is good about having... I don't think that is a real agenda.
Here's what we're doing, David. The question, you're on point and you've made your points and they're well taken. I'm asking just the same. What would be your proof of this revolutionary agenda that he is talking about? What would you be able to point to? What would you be able to see contained in this so-called revolutionary agenda that Biden is talking about?
Oh, yes. If Biden said to me, well, I'm going to cut the $1 trillion budget from the War Department, he calls it Defense Department, and maybe half, then I might believe some of that. If he told me that he was going to do this, and I would think that would be a step in the right direction. Now, the way it goes, every time you express something about doing some of the things that have been mentioned this afternoon, they tell you how you're going to pay for it. So I think that if you cut the so-called Defense Department agenda in half or even smaller, you'll be easily able to do what some of the listeners have suggested. So, but I don't think he's going to suggest that. So, you know, he'll go on with his rhetoric, and that's what he'll do, because that is what gets the votes. But those who back him don't want any revolutionary agenda at all. They want the status quo, and Biden, he works for them, not the
people. All right. All right. So this is what we are saying, in so many words. We don't expect necessarily any or all of these things to be contained in his so-called agenda when it is produced and we have a chance to look at it and decipher it.
Not exactly, because he may mention some of these things and say he's for them and so forth, and yet function in a way that would sabotage those things, just like Obama did. He said it's for universal health care, and when he got in, he changed it to Obamacare, which is the insurance company form of health care. So Biden may say these things, but once he gets in, he'll fool around and say, well, you can't do this because of this, that, and the other. So
all of this has everything,
but in terms of performance, once you get in, then you don't have to do any of that.
All that is a given. I take all of that as a given. They will say one thing, but they will do something else. Just the same. What is it on our side of the page? What is it that we would proffer as an indication that we agree that you have a revolutionary agenda? We don't know what it is. We haven't seen it yet. We are only discussing the elements based on what we think people need at this time. So it is all theoretical so far, but it is also based on the history of recent presidents, including those who say they're so progressive and they have such great ideas, and now this latest candidate saying that he has a revolutionary agenda. We don't know. We haven't seen it. And he hasn't explained it. But we're discussing from our point of view, based on what we believe from our own direct experience, what the community might appreciate or is in need of, whether the candidate is even addressing it or will be even addressing it. That's what we're doing.
Yes, well, the listeners this afternoon have brought up a number of things that are excellent. So, you know, that's wonderful. But I feel very strongly that Mr. Biden, he's a jive turkey to the highest level, you see. So, you know, I'm not falling for it.
Well, all the same, we can't say that we didn't give it some thought. And it turns out that our thoughts are way different.
I think that's wonderful to think about those things, and I'm for them. Yeah, I'm for them 100%. You know, all those things that were mentioned. But the point is, we have to understand the animal we're dealing with. You know, don't go around expecting the man-eating tiger to become a vegan. It's not possible. Don't. You look at a man-eating tiger, and you're thinking, you're better off being a vegan, you know? So, no. I don't see it that way.
I think realistic. I'm just going on the utterance by Biden himself that what he has is a revolutionary agenda.
Revolutionary agenda would end empire. would end the concept of white supremacy, racism. It would,
What his version of a revolutionary agenda is. We'll see what his version of a revolutionary agenda is. But in the meantime, it shouldn't prevent us from putting forward in our minds what we consider as top priorities for the communities we come from and live in. And you see in short order, we will see the miles of difference between the two.
Yes. There's no question about that. But I guess I don't have much confidence in him. So that's the way I feel.
Well, thank you for calling in and contributing today. And we have room for at least one more call, or maybe even two. 888-874-4888. Okay, so this is the exercise. The man says he has a revolutionary agenda. We're not going to doubt him. That's what he says he has. Okay, we haven't seen an agenda. That was the topic of our discussion yesterday. That so far into this race, he hasn't produced anything. Trump hasn't produced anything. So we don't know where either of them stands. We can conjecture where Trump stands only from his past actions and his continued conduct. We can surmise where he's likely to go if he does have an agenda. But Biden is our topic of discussion. Here's the insurgent who has not, at least up until yesterday, when we talked about the fact that there is no agenda. How do you run, especially as an insurgent, against whatever you want to think about Trump, but he's a very popular president, a formidable foe? You have to take advantage of every minute you get to get your message across, except we've been waiting for a message. It did not arrive. It has not yet arrived. So it should arrive soon. And we're conjecturing that if we will know how serious Biden is by what this revolutionary agenda of his contains. What are the top priorities as he sees it? And we will contrast that to the snippets that we got today, which are very powerful. And this is people just talking off the top of their heads. What people have been experiencing, and they articulate their suffering and their deprivation and the unfairness of society and a whole bunch of things. Let's see if Joe Biden is in tune with that when he does deliver a physical agenda. Let's see if he's in tune with it. That's all. I'll take him for his word. Whatever it is he puts out there, that's what he means. But we also have a different point of reference. And if we can take this short survey that we just completed, you'd see that people are not hesitating at all to point out the problems that they think require urgent attention. So if Biden means to be revolutionary, we will know, because they will address quite a few of these points that have been raised here today. I want to thank everybody for calling in. and contributing, and we will continue this discussion. This is very important. Now, I want to caution you not to become too lackadaisical, but to understand how important our discussions have been and hopefully will continue to be. We are not elected officials. We are not professional social scientists, but we know what's going on. We have a clue. And we're right. Just like yesterday, we chastised Biden for not having an agenda, not articulating an agenda. Boom! As if he heard us yesterday, he makes this announcement in his childhood hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. Well, that's all cute, but that's just propaganda. That's public relations. What is your agenda, Mr. Biden? That's what we want to know. And we will be discussing it and being on point on it because he is going to be running against Donald Trump doesn't mean we lower either our expectations or our suspicions. We keep a level head either way. Thanks again. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.